In the Victorian view, proper male conduct demanded that all women, even women of the lowest sort, be treated with caution and consideration for the delicacy of their feminine nature. That nature, noted a contemporary policeman's manual of conduct, with its sacred emotional wellsprings, its ennobling maternal richness, its exquisite sensitivity and profound fragility, i.e., all those qualities which comprise the very essence of womanly character, derive from the biological or physiologic principles which determine all the differences between the sexes of male and female. Thus, it must be appreciated that the essence of womanly character resides in every member of that sex, and must be duly respected by an officer, and this despite the appearance, in certain vulgar personages, of the absence of said womanly character. The belief in a biologically determined personality in both men and women was accepted to some extent by nearly everyone at all levels of Victorian society. And that belief was held in the face of all sorts of incongruities. A businessman could go off to work each day, leaving his unreasoning wife to run an enormous household, a business-like task of formidable proportions. Yet the husband never viewed his wife's activities in that way. Of all the absurdities of the code, the most difficult was the predicament of the policeman. A woman's inherent fragility created obvious difficulties in the handling of female lawbreakers. Indeed, criminals took advantage of the situation, often employing a female accomplice, precisely because the policemen were so reluctant to arrest. Constable Johnson, confronted by this dratted minx on the night of November the 5th, was fully aware of his situation. The woman claimed to have no stolen goods on her person, and if this was true, she would never be convicted, despite his testimony that he had found her bug hunting. Without a pocket watch or some other indisputably masculine article, the girl would go free. Nor could he search her. The very idea that he might touch the woman's body was unthinkable to him. His only recourse was to escort her to the station, where a matron would be called to perform the search. But the hour was late. The matron would have to be roused from her bed, and the station was some way off. In the course of being escorted through dark streets, the little tart would have many opportunities to rid herself of incriminating evidence. Furthermore, if Constable Johnson brought her in, called for the matron, raised all manner of fuss and stir, and then it was discovered the girl was clean, he would look a proper fool and receive a stiff rebuke. He knew this, and so did the girl standing before him in a posture of brazen defiance.